Okay, well, this morning you've got me on one of my favourite subjects. So, Sue, have we got the first one? Is it up there? We're talking about rediscovering Lent, and this is our series where what we're all about in this series is transformation. And I just want to show you a kind of odd little video clip. It's all silent. So there's the caterpillar. Bear with it. And there's the chrysalis forming, wiggling. It's time-lapse photography, so it's kind of a bit speedy. This all happens over, like, weeks. And it hardens off. And then inside, transformation begins to take place. And then, after a while, this is what emerges. Look how different that is from the caterpillar. Look what it can do in comparison to the caterpillar. That is bonkers. It's just weird, isn't it? It just shouldn't be able to happen. But it does. That creature that wiggles on the ground becomes that butterfly. Transformation is in that caterpillar waiting to happen. And that is true of every one of us. And we think it's not. And we think of ourselves as caterpillars, but our Father God wants to and can transform us just like that. It's in you waiting to happen. What does it need to take place? And that's what we're going to explore today. And I've got, there's another amazing transformation. How cute is that? And I wanted to borrow a baby, but there are babies in here this morning. And if you think about a baby, it's cute, yeah, it doesn't do much. And it grows into an adult. That's another bonkers transformation, isn't it? You know, we can communicate, we can walk, we can talk, we can do stuff. It's mad. It shouldn't be able to happen. But it does. What brings that transformation? Well, that does. Food. Food, close to some of our hearts, I know. The baby gets food and the transformation that's programmed into it begins to happen. So, what is the food that we need to make the transformation happen in us? And that's why this talk today is called Food for Life. So what's our food? Well, our food is the Word of God. That's the food that changes us and transforms us. And when I introduced this series to you of Rediscovering Lent, I said that the traditional church readings at this time follow the story of the Israelites as they leave slavery in Egypt and they travel through the wilderness to the Promised Land. And this Sunday, where they've got to is they're hungry. They're in the wilderness and they're hungry. They're complaining and they want food. And in Deuteronomy 4, you can read it in your Bibles, we see God giving them manna, bread from heaven. It's extraordinary. It's on the ground in the mornings when they go out to collect and eat. And it sustains them for 40 years in the wilderness. And when God gives them that food, he says this: man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Now, that struck me as being a bit bonkers as well, because actually, if God's going to give you supernatural, amazing provision of manna, which is heavenly food, why on earth can't you just live on that? But that's because God wants us to do more than live. He wants us to have a God connection, a relationship with him. He made us to be in relationship with him, to have interaction with him, and have a life of relationship with him, adventure with him. And one of the ways we communicate with one another and we build relationship is through words. So, man cannot live. I looked up that word that I've underlined and written in extra big type in the Hebrew to see what it meant. And it means this. It means to revive, to give life, to nourish up, to recover, repair, restore to life, to save, to be whole. If we take those meanings and we put that back into the scripture, man cannot live by bread alone. What that's saying is, man cannot be revived or given life or be nourished up the way he needs by bread alone. Man can't be repaired or restored to life or be saved or be whole with by bread alone, but needs every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, that was in the Old Testament, but Jesus repeats it again early on in the New Testament, after he's been in the wilderness, he's been fasting for 40 days, he's really hungry, and the enemy comes and tempts him to turn the stones into bread. And Jesus says the same thing again. No, man cannot live by bread alone, but needs every word that comes from the mouth of God. It must be really important, I think, if it's been said a few times. So, the word of God. We're physical beings and we're spiritual beings. Our spirit man needs food to grow just like our physical man does. Guys, we need the word of God. We need it. And how does it come to us? All sorts of ways. You've seen Jan doing a prophetic table. The prophetic word Jan brought at the front, the picture, the prophetic picture that Danielle brought, that can just speak to us and we know God's spoken. Sometimes it's through thoughts and impressions that we have in our own heart and we just kind of know God's spoken to us. But a really important daily way it can come to us is through the word of God. That's where God speaks. It's the story of God's interaction with man, his people individually, corporately, in nations. It's got teaching, instruction, wisdom, comfort in it. And actually, we're going to be looking at the Bible, the whole story, in our next teaching series, which starts after Easter with Colin, which is called The Big Story. Now, at this point in the Lent readings in Deuteronomy, we see Moses actually passing on to the people all the words of God that he's had. Amongst them are the Ten Commandments, but all the things God said, which are about how he wants them to live and interact with him, how he wants to build relationship with them. And overarching that is God's phrase, "You will be my people and I will be your God." And that's his heart. That's what he wants. Now, we have a whole lot more to the word of God than they did then. We've got the whole Bible, or any of them you fancy, but mine's nicer because it's pink. And this is extraordinary. This is a treasure chest for us. What's in it? Wow, there are priceless gems in here for you and for me. Stuff that God has for us. Treasures that will make us wealthy and wise beyond anything the world can possibly give us. There are life-changing encounters with God in here for you. But it stays shut unless we open it, the treasure chest, and we go and we find them. And my prayer for today is that no matter where you are in getting into the Word of God, your hunger for it today will increase. And the level of revelation that you get from it as you read it will increase, because there's no end to what God has to say to us through his word. It's one of the things that absolutely excites me the most and has changed me the most over the years. The way God speaks to us directly to our hearts through his word, and that brings about transformation. Now, we can just read it, and that's good. But there are those times when you know God has spoken to you. You know he's spoken to you. And that is really special. That's when scripture absolutely leaps off the page. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. And the word of God, there are two meanings in Greek for the word of God. The first one is logos, which is like the whole word of God. The word of God. Jesus was the word of God, the logos of God. And that is fantastic and great and nourishing and can revive us. But then there's also the rhema, word of God, which is the specific utterance that God has for you. There's a scripture that says, we'll look at it in a minute, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that word is that rhema. So faith comes by hearing that specific word that God has for you, that he opens up to you It's extraordinary, and that's what brings transformation. Let me give you just an example. When my daughter Rachel is 14 and a half, when she was a very newborn baby, just brought her home from hospital, I was having terrible heart palpitations at all different times during the day. It's something I'd had off and on over the years, but it was really bad to the point where I was walking downstairs one morning, newborn baby in my arms, and a lot of palpitations hit me. I almost passed out and dropped her on the way down the stairs. My family has a serious history of heart problems. My grandfather died at 60. My dad and my brothers all have serious heart problems. And so as a new mum, I was scared to death. There I was with two tiny children, had all sorts of investigations. Yes, you have a heart complaint. It's going to get worse. It's going to be disastrous. And that's where I was. And I went to God and I said, "What? What do you have to say?" And I was reading my Bible, and it is marked in my Bible to this day. Psalm 73:26 leapt out of that page and smacked me right between the eyes. And God said, "Your flesh and your heart may fail, but I am the strength of your heart and your portion forever." Whoa. Well, that was quite clear, wasn't it? And that scripture says, actually, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And that word strength means rock. That is what God said to me. That was my Rhema word. And I have walked with that word through all the valleys that there have been. In my family's heart history life, my dad's recently had a quadruple heart bypass, and I hold on to that word. That was mine from God. That was a Rhema word. What has God said to you? What does he want to say to you? What Rhema words are there in that Bible for you that he has that are going to transform you? Like that one brought peace to me, brought a rock to stand on that I don't move from. And when I threaten to move from it, I go back to it and I get it out and I read it. There's a lady called Patricia King who runs an organization called Extreme Prophetic. And she says, if you can see it, you can have it. And what she means by that is, she quotes in 2 Corinthians, it says, all the promises of God are yes. So if you can see when you read in your Bible one of those promises, it's yours. It's yes. It's yes for you. So this Bible, we can't approach it as an academic exercise. It's not really a textbook. People do that and study all the ins and outs of it. But it's not just a textbook. We need the living power of the Holy Spirit to open it up to us. And that's what he wants to do for every single one of us. He wants to feed us. He wants to transform us. He wants to take you and I as we're sitting here feeling caterpillar-like. And he wants to give us a word that is going to change our lives and our hearts. I pulled some, a bit of a mishmash of John 14 out. Because in there, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit, who he is going to send. And he says things like this: I will pray to the Father and he'll give you another helper who will abide for you with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. And he, who the Father will send, will teach you all things. When he comes, he will testify of me. He will guide you into all truth. He will tell you of things to come. And that's one of the works of the Holy Spirit, to take what is true, what is in that word, and make it alive and real to us. So it's not just a textbook. So what we need to do is pause and ask ourselves, do we really want transformation in our lives? Because if we do, then we need the word of God. We can't ignore it. We can't treat it lightly. We can't be sporadic. If you think about the physical food we need for our bodies, we can't just eat once a week. Well, you can, but you'd be a bit strange. Our Sunday meetings can't carry the burden of transformation for you in your life. That needs to happen between meetings. That's the lifeblood of transformation for us. Let me show you a quote that I've said before, which comes from this book that I've been reading called Move, which is an in-depth study of 250,000 Christians. What makes us grow? How do we grow? How do we develop in our relationship with God? And this was a really key quote. reflection on Scripture is by far the most influential personal spiritual practice for every Christian. And I've got something to read you out of the book about vanilla ice cream. I'm sorry I haven't got any. If I was a proper preacher with visual aids, I would now wheel out vanilla ice creams for you. Practicalities? No, it's not happening. Okay, if your local ice cream parlour could sell only one flavour of ice cream, it would sell vanilla. This isn't just because vanilla ice cream is the most popular flavour, although that is true. It's because vanilla ice cream is hugely popular. In fact, it's twice as popular as the second most popular flavour, which is chocolate. And chocolate is twice as popular as anything else. So, your ice cream parlour would choose vanilla. Hands down, no contest. Church leaders have an equally compelling option. If they could do only one thing to help people at all levels of spiritual maturity grow in their relationship with Christ, the choice is equally clear. They would inspire, encourage, and equip their people to read the Bible, specifically to reflect on Scripture for meaning in their lives. Because reflection on Scripture is the spiritual equivalent of vanilla ice cream. There you go. Because its influence on spiritual growth far exceeds the impact of anything else. This means when we consider the most significant spiritual catalyst for growth, the Bible's influence transcends everything else, just like vanilla ice cream's popularity dwarfs all other flavours. Hands down, no contest. When it comes to spiritual growth, nothing beats the Bible. It's interesting, isn't it? But you know, if that's true, if it's so important for us, the enemy is going to do everything he can to stop us reading it. But he doesn't want us transformed. He doesn't want us to be butterflies that fly. He wants us to stay caterpillars. He hates the Word of God because of its power, and so he steals it from us. Jesus told a parable of the sower going out to sow seed. And a parable is a story with a meaning behind it for us. And the sower goes out and sows this seed, and some goes on stony ground, some goes on thorny ground, some gets eaten by birds, and some falls on good ground and grows a good crop. And Jesus began to explain the story and said that it was a picture of the Word of God. So the seed is like the Word of God. And this is what he said at the beginning. The sower sows the Word of God. And these are the ones by the wayside where the Word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the Word that was sown in their hearts. And that's something we just need to be aware of. Honesty time. How many of us have started reading and then given up? How many of us have got distracted? How many of us have started daily reading plans and we're in July and we've discovered it's still February? I have done it so many times. And do you know what we need? We need discipline. It's not a sexy word, is it? It's not what you want to hear. Discipline makes us sound like we've been told off. But actually, another meaning of the word discipline is training, is teaching, is self-control, obedience, self-government. And isn't that what we want to do? We want to train ourselves to read, to understand and honour the Word of God as well as obeying it. And this is going to take willpower and determination. There's no way around it. At the end of today, what I want to do is I want to challenge us all to commit to getting into the Word of God every day. And I'm not saying that as a rule to put it on you, another thing to squash you, a horrible thing to drain life out of you. I'm suggesting that because God wants us to fly. And he wants us to emerge from those chrysalises. He wants us to be transformed. And this is a key way for it to happen. I want to inspire you about what the Word of God can do for you. There are so many scriptures that I could go through about what the Word of God does. We could do a whole series, and we might, about everything the Word of God does. But here's one that I really love. In 2 Peter 1, verse 4, it says this. It rabbits on a bit. And then it says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature. So we might be partakers of the divine nature through the exceedingly great and precious promises God has given to us in his word. Now I looked at that word partakers. I like finding out what things mean. I was like, what does partakers mean? It means to get involved in. It means to share. It means to partner with. To have the attributes and characteristics and qualities of something. To be characterized by. So as we share in those great and precious promises, we become a partner with. We have the attributes, the qualities of the divine nature. We become characterized by the divine nature. So I'm like, okay, but what does the divine nature look like? Well, I think the divine nature looks like Jesus. He was someone who was fully man, but so fully filled with the presence of God that people were drawn to him. He carried the power of God within him to change lives and circumstances, to bring the kingdom of God to earth wherever he went. He had a relationship with his Father God that was close and constant. He was filled with kindness and goodness, compassion and love. He was a walking challenge to the powers of hell that sought to wreak havoc in people's lives. And isn't that how we want to live? Is that who you want to be? I want to be that kind of person who is so filled with the Holy Spirit that where I go, transformation happens through the power of God and the presence of God. That is the divine nature that we can partake in as we dwell on those great and precious promises, as we feed on the Word of God. That to me is a really great vision that I can hold up, and when I'm struggling to do it, think, this is why I'm doing it. And just the other scripture that I just wanted to do was this one I mentioned earlier on. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I've begun to understand this more and more as time's gone by. I've already mentioned it in connection with the Rhema word, because that word is Rhema, that specific word. As we hear it, faith comes. And I heard a great explanation of faith recently, which was, it is always living with a positive attitude that comes from a deep trust in God. Can you imagine what kind of people we could be if we always lived with a positive attitude? So that no matter what circumstance we found ourselves in, we could say, this is really pants. But do you know what? My God says about this. It's like the question I posed you some weeks ago when I said, when you're in a really difficult time, you're feeling rough, is God hopeless about this situation? To ask yourself, is God hopeless about this? And I think the answer is always no. And we can go and we can say, what does God's word say about where I am now? If I'm feeling rubbish, what does God's word say? It says he's my lamp to my feet. He's the light to my path. He's my comforter. He's my strength. He's my rock. He's my shield. He's my fortress. He's my all in all. All of those things, just like I had that promise about my heart when I'm feeling rubbish about it. What does God say? God says he's the strength of my heart. We can become people who live centered on the word of God. And when we do that, we are in a good place for transformation. There is such power in the Word of God to transform and change us. We can't afford to ignore it. And our challenge is to allow it to become our foundation, our compass our rock, our food, and the center of our lives. So, I'm just going to skip that. What do I do? What do we do if I've just said all of that? Okay, well, read the Bible. We can read the Bible. You can start somewhere and read books, read a flow, have a daily reading thing that takes you throughout the whole Bible in a year. I've done that, and it took me a bit longer than a year. Actually, it didn't. I did do it in a year, and I did about 2 months in 2 weeks because I was so stressed about getting it done. But you know what it did in me? Actually, I didn't have rhema stuff day after day after day from it, but at the end, I just knew I was fatter. I don't know how to explain it. I just knew in my spirit there was just something there that hadn't been before. And all I'd been doing was reading, you know. You can reflect on specific passages. That's really important. Not just knowledge, but it has to be done with the Holy Spirit. Get some daily readings and do them. I'm just going to own up here, tell you a testimony. My good friend Rachel Smith, sitting there, bought me this for Christmas, I think it was. I'm just going to be really honest with you. When Rachel buys presents, I know she's always prayed about them and they're generally prophetic. So I kind of take note. But she bought me this and I'm just going to be really honest. I looked at it and I thought, well, that's really nice. But you know, that's something I probably would have read a few years ago. I think I've probably done this kind of thing. Just being really honest. How proud is that? But Rachel had bought it for me, and I honour the gift in Rachel. And so I was like, do you know what, I'm going to do this. Okay, so January the 1st, I began to do it. And can I tell you, God has spoken to me every single time I pick this up and I do it. Every verse in this has hit me like a ton of bricks, and the Holy Spirit has spoken to me. And this is quite fundamental stuff to our faith. But what God's done is he's taken the fundamental understandings. I thought I had things nailed, and he's gone, yeah, you have, but there's more. There's more. You might think you know how to walk in faith, but there's more. Let's go deeper. And God has challenged me through this day after day. Thank you, Rachel. And I am humbled at my appalling attitude. So I would just say to you, don't despise the simple things. As you reflect on a verse of scripture a day, God can transform you. These are amazing resources that we have. And I asked Tony and Claire, and Hannah's doing it for them, to put a bookstall up for me this morning from Quench that has all sorts of things like this. And I would just urge you, if you feel the Holy Spirit stirring you this morning, go buy one. If you can't afford to buy one, they'll take a note of how much it is and I'll pay for it. Because I so believe in the value of this and I so want to encourage you this morning. Guys, let's do this day by day, day by day. Let's get, not as a religious rule, but as something that will feed us and transform us. You can do other things. You can study it. I love studying the Word of God, and there's a great tool called Nourish that some of us have done here. Desi is a great champion of Nourish. Yay, Desi! If you want to learn how to look into the Bible, how to take those words, find out what they mean, the Holy Spirit speaks to you, then talk to me or talk to Desi. We can get some classes going that can encourage you how to do that. Get daily verses to your phone. If you go on BibleGateway.com, they'll flick you a verse every day. Brilliant. I leave it on my phone instead of going, oh, that's nice, and delete it. And I look at it at times during the day when I've just got 2 minutes waiting. Oh, yeah, I remember that verse. I'll just think about that. Just go over it, meditate it, let the Word of God get into you. Listen to it. This is a great resource Rachel O'Denny told me about. It's called You've Got the Time. And it's the Bible Society have recorded the New Testament, the whole of it, in chunks, the Riding Lights Theatre Company. Really well done. Free download. You can download it and listen to it in your car, when you're walking your dog, whatever. There are so many ways these days to get into the Bible. Millions of them. If you're not a reader, you can listen. If you want something in depth, you can do that. But don't put it off. I was with somebody in the week who said to me, you know, unprompted by any of this, I've just been thinking and I really want to go deeper with God, and I'm going to switch my TV off at 9 o'clock every night and I'm just going to do some Bible study. that's the kind of decisions we need to make if we're really serious about going on with God. We actually do all have the time somewhere. Might be different times for us, but it is there. Okay, I'm just going to finish there. But what I want us to just do a couple of things. I don't know if you brought your Bibles with you, if you read my email, paid attention. Anyway, if you did and you've got it, just pop it on your lap. Just get your Bible on your lap if you feel the urge. There's a few here. We're going to just use that in a moment. But what I'd just like you to do is just be really quiet and close your eyes and just focus on God. Let's just look into our hearts. Are we prepared to commit to taking on board the Word of God every day? Can we make that commitment to the Lord this morning? Lord, I just want to ask that you would increase our hunger for your word. I just want to pray that you would put a burning hunger inside our hearts for your word that leads us to make good decisions, to weave it into our lives every day somehow that works for us. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would guide us as to good ways that that works for us and good times that that works for us. And I pray, Father God, over every single person here that you will increase the level of revelation that they get from your word. I want to pray, Father God, that those treasure chests, those gems just come out day after day, week after week, for every person here. Holy Spirit, would you let us grow to be a people who are centered on your word, who live our lives with it as our compass and our foundation, Jesus, because you are the word of God. And we sang earlier, Jesus, be the center, be the center. In a few minutes, we're just going to read a declaration together, but I'm just going to read it out over you, just as you sit there. This is what I'm going to ask us all to say together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. My heart is good soil for the seed of God's word. I will be changed. I will be transformed. I will never be the same again. And I'd like us to say that together. And I'd like you to get your Bible in your hand. If you've not got your Bible, but you've got a phone and it's on there, then wave that around. If not, pretend you've got your Bible in your hand and hold it up. You feel a nana and it will show you didn't read my email and remember. But never mind, you're forgiven. But get your Bible and let's together read this. And read it with meaning, because it is absolutely true. Okay, so got your pretend Bibles? Right, here we go. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. My heart is good soil for the seed of God's word. I will be changed. I will be transformed. I will never be the same again. Amen, Lord. Open this up to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Just as I finish and sit down, I've made you a bookmark. It says that declaration on it to remind you of what the truth is. And think, Jonathan, the welcome guys, can you just pass them around? If you just want to take one and put it in your Bibles and use it as your bookmark and remember it, that you are and can have and can do everything that the Word of God says it can. Okay, well done. Thank you, guys.